from the vault. High atop the pastoral center of the Diocese of Camden, you're listening to Talking Catholic.
Hello, everybody. This is Pete Sanchez, and you are listening to Talking Catholic, the official podcast of the Diocese of Camden in beautiful southern New Jersey. And with me is my co-host, Michael Walsh. Mike, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here. It's always lovely to have guests in my vault.
It is, and it's we have a trio, a lovely trio we'll get to in a bit. We're getting ready, Mike, for the Christmas season.
Yes, we are, as we finish this very quick Advent season.
Yeah, it's weird. Fourth Sunday of Advent is just that. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent, yeah, and that is it.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks and a minute and a half.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It feels really... And it hit me today that this was, I think it's hit me before, but I think it hit me really profoundly today that this is the last, we're coming up on the last days before the actual Christmas day. And starting to, not getting a little pressure, but not too much.
Oh yeah, I'm starting to feel it today as well. Not necessarily a bad way, just sort of in a anxious way. Suddenly realizing, oh man, there's a bunch of stuff I have left to do.
Yeah. You know? I was hoping to get done more. I'm going to get the tree tonight. So that'll be the next in like 50 degree weather. It is very unseasonable weather here in South Jersey right now.
Yeah, but just for the day. It'll go down.
Hopefully, tomorrow. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We might not have that white Christmas. But, and Mike, we got a few things coming up if we can fast forward now to 2018. There's a course on Catholic morality that the Archdiocese of Camden's Lay Ministry Formation is putting on. If you're a practicing Catholic, hungry for more knowledge about Catholic teaching, just want to increase your knowledge about God and give your gifts, learn about the God and the church that you serve, enhance your gifts God has given you. The Church Ministry Institute of Camden is offering 6-week courses, $60 for all 6 weeks. And the good thing, Mike, is you don't need to take them in any special order. You can take, there's 15 different courses. They're offered over 3 years. Mm-hmm. So this event, for general information or questions, contact Colleen Mayhew at 856-583-2906 or email colleen.mayhew@camdendiocese.org. They'll be held all over the diocese. I think there's one in Hamilton. There's a course set in Absecon. So avail yourself of that if you so choose. And we talked about this last week, Mike. The Theology on Tap is coming up on January 9th. One of our favorite, and you and I will be there January 9th in Tiernan Nog in Cherry Hill.
Yeah.
Once again. Yeah. And that'll be fun. Always a great time. Deacon Anthony Infante is going to teach us how to FaceTime with God. I know we might FaceTime with loved ones. I FaceTime with my nephew out in Oregon, my sister out in Vancouver, Canada, but I've never FaceTime with God.
Not that you're aware of, anyway, but maybe we'll learn that we have been doing that. Maybe that's what he'll teach us, too, is that now we have been doing it, now we can be conscious of doing it.
Well then, Mike, the possibilities are endless now. Now I'm going back, who have I FaceTimed with? Were they God in that moment?
Sure.
So that's really, and Deacon Anthony Infante is a friend of mine. He's just a wonderful human being. He's in the seminary.
Right, soon to be a priest.
Yes,
coming up. All things go as according to plan.
Yes, and he is just, and FaceTime with God really means he'll be talking about praying with icons. How the use of icons in prayer in communication with God. And if you're not familiar with Theology on Tap, it's a great chance. 20s and 30-somethings. I'm 30-something. I don't know. We just allow Mike.
I think exactly right.
We tolerate.
I'm literally grandfathered in. I'm not literally a grandfather.
I was going to say grandfather is an apt term, but no.
No, not yet.
Not yet, Gandalf. Anyway.
10 years at the earliest, maybe.
Okay. well, we'd love to have you, Mike. Your spirit is...
My youthful millennial-like spirit?
Yes, okay. Yes, that I do not have.
No, you...
I'm not a millennial.
Certainly in spirit.
Thank you. So 20s and 30 somethings, you know, theology on tap is a great chance, you know, engage in meaningful conversation with your peers, your dynamic speakers like Deacon Infante. The last one with the sisters in Hamilton was incredible. That's a few podcasts back. So scroll down and listen to it if you're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, wherever you're listening to us, and listen to that podcast to get a feel of Theology on Tap. For more info, go to, if you're on Facebook, Theology on Tap - South Jersey, or on Twitter, Theology on Tap SJ. And that's going to start at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, January 9th. The doors will open, 7:30 to 9, presentation, and have a Guinness with Mike and I. We will be there, and we'll gladly, we'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts and get your feedback. And about a couple days later, this exciting event, speaking of seminarians, there's actually a retreat weekend coming up with seminarians, Saturday, January 13th to Sunday, January 14th. Come, you know, if you're considering the call, if you feel God in your heart might be calling you to the priesthood, if you just want to discern and pray what your vocation should be, and you're a junior or senior in high school, college student, or in the professional world, up to 39 years old, come out to this and just enjoy time and relax and discernment and prayer. Go to Camden Priest, www.camdenpriest.org.
And, you know, in our conversations with seminarians and the vocations director, Father Romano, we've talked about these discernment events as being really key elements to the seminarians deciding to become seminarians, yeah. You know, or if they realize after coming to one of these things that maybe it wasn't, they thought they had a calling, but maybe that wasn't what the calling was. So these group sessions are key to really, you know, sort of helping to understand what you want to do if you think you might have a calling to the priesthood. And you're not on the hook. You go to it, you talk to people, you see if you're, you know, similarly inclined, and if you are, then you move a little further forward, and if not, you've gotten to hang out with some lovely Catholic gentlemen for the evening.
I agree. And inspiring, you know, the seminarians who I've got to know over the years are just wonderful men, and it's really a time to reflect. Sometimes this world can get so noisy that you can't hear God's voice to really know what's going on, what He wants for you. So I think this will just be a great time to kind of try to figure it out. And like Mike said, good Christian gentleman.
Yeah.
And Father Romano is a very good friend of the show. We hope to see him soon. And the same day, Mike, January 13th, we have this event that our friend Mike Lasky, who we had on last program, Director of Life and Justice, told us about, the Catholic Spike Racism event. Individuals that come to this event, it's going to be held at St. Charles Seminary, St. Charles Borromeo Church, my apologies, 176 Stagecoach Road in Sicklerville at 10 a.m. on Saturday, I think that's a Saturday, January 13th, and I believe so. And so come out to this event, individuals can learn how to fight racism in their parishes, schools, homes, and even in their own hearts through a process of reflection, dialogue, prayer, and education, and you can find more info on that. Go to www.camdendiocese.org/fightracism. And in a couple of that, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service is a few days later on Martin Luther King Day, January 15th. That's going to be a blood drive sponsored by the Diocese of Camden and the Office of Black Catholic Ministries and Cultural Diversity. And the blood drive, there's going to be three locations: your church, the Church of St. Bridget in Glassboro, the Catholic Community of Christ Our Light in Cherry Hill, and Sacred Heart Parish in Camden. And all these blood drives, all these locations, Glassboro, Camden, Cherry Hill, it's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So give blood, you know, save a life. Register online at redcrossblood.org. Or contact the blood drive coordinator, Betty Atkins, 609-413-1701. Or Mike, if you're interested at St. Bridget, you can contact the Church of St. Bridget coordinator, James Andrews, the director. I think, is he the director or the delegate of Black Catholic Ministries?
He's the director.
I knew he had a title. I wasn't sure. I'm sorry, James. I didn't mean to.
And a super nice guy on top of it.
He is. No, he's a wonderful Christian gentleman. His number is 856-583-2907. for more info, enough about me. I've talked way too much. So, Mike, would you like to introduce who we have here today, this exciting trio? Troika?
A troika of schools people have joined us today. Two old bees and a newbie. So two voices you'll recognize, Dr. Bill Watson, Marianela Nunez, who you most recently was on the podcast, I think, as part of the Spanish podcast we did with Andres Arango. And the newest member of the school's department in our midst is Mary Beth Peabody, who is the marketing and communications person with the school's office. So thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Now, two people are sharing a microphone, so we have to make sure everybody uses their microphone voice. So no speaking from a distance. Feel free to – we'll wait while you pull the microphone over to you. So,
I take it, Mike.
Still not listening to me, but that's okay. If you can't hear Marianela, she's the one who's refusing to pull the mic over to her face. So, Pete, why have these lovely people from the school's office joined us today?
Well, we're excited. Kind of the theme that we've been doing the past couple of weeks for our devoted listeners, and I don't know why anybody who's listening to this wouldn't be a devoted listener. We're just lovely people that chat to, and the guests that we have are lovely people. We're doing it on this. We're talking about the Christmas season, and we wanted to get schools department in to really talk about. And just share what's going on in the schools now. There's a lot of, and even share their own personal memories of the Christmas, the season and the Advent and preparing. I guess, is school still in session this week?
Yeah, school's in session this week through Friday. So we have, to your point earlier about Advent being, the fourth week of Advent then being, you know, one day or even half a day if you go to Mass on Christmas Eve. It's the same way for our schools. They have that last week before Christmas as a full week, which is unusual. Normally, you know, if Christmas is the end of the week or something, they'll have kind of a half week. So it's a good opportunity for the schools who are still in session, which is all of them, for the entire week to continue with their Christmas festivities and traditions.
And with this, what are those kind of –
what have you seen so far this week while you've been – you know, in the last couple of weeks while you've been out at the schools? Anything – particularly interesting that the schools are doing? Any particularly notable Christmas pageants?
Well, I just attended the Landis Theater in Byland for Bishop Shad Regional School, and they just had an awesome performance and musical in which Bishop Sullivan was present, and he really enjoyed it, and myself as well. I took my two babies with me. Such a challenge, but it was pretty cool. They have the nicest handmade costumes by some of the school members and the sisters. I think Sister Rose and Maria did a great job putting all that together with all of her volunteers.
Yeah, that was so well done that it's already sort of trickled down to me what a great performance it was with it. It wasn't just sort of unrelated Christmas songs tied together. It was an actual performance, right? I mean, it was a show.
It was a show. Like, you know, I got there and I was really, really impressed by the amount of people that were there. Like, you know, it was a full theater. And it's pretty neat that they invite the community members to be part of these. And it's a free event and it's, you know, perfect for the season and for families to take their young children in and to enjoy a free performance, really well done, and enjoy their kids too.
That really is wonderful. I love it when the schools get an opportunity to perform in a true theater. Having kind of a modest theater background myself, I've done both the, you know, from the school stage, from a riser in a big room, and from an actual stage, and nothing competes with being on an actual stage. That's a great thrill for the students, you know.
The lighting was great, like, you know, all the sounds, you know, they have these wireless mics, and, you know, that experience, I think, for these young children, they would never forget, and if they really want to pursue a career in that, that's that's, you know, their start.
Yeah. And, you know, Pete was asking me what was, before we got on, what was, like, school memories for me, Christmas-oriented school memories for me that were meaningful. I have to admit, the school play, anytime I'm around a school play, particularly one that's well done, but any school play will do, that, or a Christmas pageant, something like that, that is usually what kickstarts my Christmas mind, the Christmas mentality of really getting into the season, just seeing all those young children really just exuding that sense of Christmas, that Christmas magic.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So if you're in your neighborhoods and you you are having a hard time getting into the Christmas spirit, by all means, go watch kids perform. Even if it's not our Catholic kids, if it's anything. The other thing that's always good is I like a good Christmas parade. Pittman, New Jersey does a great Christmas parade that actually is referred to as a Christmas parade, not a holiday parade. And the Knights of Columbus always walk in and they carry a big banner that says "Keep Christ in Christmas," walking down the street. And from a certainly from a Catholic point of view, and as a Christmas aficionado like myself, I love seeing stuff like that. It always, you know, fills me with joy. And what about your personal lives? Like back in the day. For those of you who went to Catholic schools.
Well, I think before we go there, Mike, there's a lot of schools in our diocese, and they are doing awesome things. I think Mary Beth has something to share about that, right?
Well, I was just thinking about what a wide spread of activities they do, and it's not just the pageants and the plays, but the schools do so much service, and they give back to their local communities. They send donations to other countries. It's just amazing to me the things that they do. And in a lot of the schools, the teachers do things too. I think it was at Holy Spirit High School, their teachers actually take up a collection instead of doing the Advent Angel to each other. They put that money toward a special fund for the cafeteria for kids who they know don't have enough money to buy lunch. And it's just a really quiet, you know, the school cafeteria personnel just make sure that lunch gets paid for from that fund. So I think it's, you know, it's a great example for our teachers to be doing things, not just our kids, but that our teachers also take the time, faculty and administration take the time to do those kinds of projects as well.
Yeah, I think that's another, you know, you think about the concerts and the service and Mike, your the banner that says keep Christ in Christmas. And so these are all different ways that our schools do that. And, you know, another way is they participate in an extra way in the sacramental life of the church, in the prayer life of the church. So many of our schools attend Mass. All of our schools have, our elementary schools, for example, have Mass at least once a month, but they'll go more frequently during Advent. I know Guardian Angels had two school Masses in the parish. So the school is kind of really a part of the parish in that sense. And so the kids are bringing their light and their spirit then to the parish. We have, I know St. Peter's in Merchantville had a school-wide rosary, in particular praying for intentions of peace in their own lives and in the world.
Yeah.
And so almost every classroom you'll walk into will have an Advent wreath, and they'll say prayers around the Advent wreath. I know at Good Shepherd in Collingswood, they have a morning assembly with all of the students every day, not just Advent, but they say their Advent wreath prayers that day. So you sort of really have these many different ways in the life of the Catholic school and in the Catholic school student and teacher where Christmas is alive, where the service is kind of ratcheted up during the Christmas season, and so is the liturgical and the prayer life. And then, of course, that all kind of manifests itself in the community with these celebrations of song and pageantry and so forth. It's really neat to see how all of that, you know, contributes to the preparation for Christmas.
Yeah.
I remember one of my most profound Christmas experiences was at high school in North Philadelphia, St. Joe's Prep. And one of the things we participated in was called Operation Santa Claus. And that was on Christmas Eve. I and some students, my dad was kind enough to drive us in the wagon, and we went to school. We picked up some toys, and we went around. The first year we did it, I was Santa Claus. The second year, somebody else was. I was an elf, and we got into costume, and we drove around North Philly. They had a map for us, and we all stopped at different houses and passed out these gifts. And to see the joy on these kids' faces, that was the reason of the season. And, you know, it's you just saw so many kids take time out. You know, it's Christmas Eve in the morning where people could be doing so many other events. And it was beautiful. And then afterwards, there was a little reception at the it's not there anymore, the Adams Mark Hotel on City Ave. And I don't know if the school does that. Is there... Do they do anything like that here, Bill? And this with our diocese, like that was such a profound program.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a few things that happen in terms of you know, it's interesting when you think about our schools and sort of giving and the giving spirit. But then also, I think what people don't realize about our schools, and as Mary Beth mentioned before, we have some kids in our schools who, for lack of a better term, are in a position to receive, right? So we have kids sort of on both sides of that equation. And so it's really special to see, for example, the teachers support in that particular school, the students through the cafeteria in a subtle way. You know, nobody's called out. And it's sort of the participation's for everybody in that way. I think some of our schools do, almost every school, Mary Beth, I think you were talking earlier about that, and, you know, collecting toys for tots or having a partner school that they have that they could kind of take ornaments off of a tree that has something, you know, for a particular person that they're buying for, and buying, you know, gifts and that sort of thing for. I don't know that they're on Christmas Eve dressing up as Santa. Although maybe we could suggest to them that might be a good idea, but they're definitely in the spirit of you know, preparing some of those things for people who really need it and giving.
Christ the King really does a cool thing. They ask parents to buy one less toy for their child and give it away to a child in need. And so the cool part of this program is that they say to the parents, if you're going to do it, take the kids with you to the store and buy it with them so that they feel the spirit of giving and they understand the value. And that might be the only gift that child receives that Christmas. So that's a cool way to celebrate at the Advent season and get ready for Christmas, to give kids that opportunity to think about others who need maybe more than they do, and, you know, feel lucky that their parents buy for them and that they have the stuff they have.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about the Christmas season, that there are so many opportunities just to be joyful or Christian or to be inspired by the moment. I completely unrelated to anything Christian, I think, but related more to the joyful nature of the season. You know, I got a kick the other day. I was at my niece and nephew's house, my in-laws really, for a birthday party for my wife. And while I was there, the town had Santa up on top of a fire truck with going through the town, ringing the bell, waving to everybody. And everybody in the household, even though I have a bunch of teenage nieces and nephews now, got excited about it, looked out the window. Actually, I will say that the adults may have gotten even more excited than everybody else. However, when the firemen came to the door offering candy canes, my 16-year-old niece became ecstatic. And it was just like – and it sounds dumb, but it's moments like that that I don't think really exist in other times of the year, that when you really sort of think about them and let yourself be open to these happy things that are going on and being inspired to do other things. You know, we always say, you know, trying to figure out how to get the Christmas, you know, the Christmas joy that exists during this time, you know, to translate to other parts of the year. I think I really want to make sure that I try this year to remember all of these activities, all of these things, even My son came home from school 2 weeks ago, and I said, "What'd you do at school today?" And I went to confession. I was like, "Oh man, my goodness, good job, school for bringing the 9-year-olds to confession." Though I think they maybe should have done it a little closer to Christmas, just for, you know, maybe wiped a few of the kids off the naughty list for Santa's list. But anyway, it was just moments like that that don't exist on a regular basis that I really like, which is one of the reasons why we're having two episodes dedicated to
where I guess we've done now, what, three episodes dedicated to Advent and Christmas?
Yeah, Father Rob.
And, yeah, just because there's so much to it that it's, in some ways, it's tough because there's so much to it, you can't possibly do all of it. But if you can do a little bit of it, I think it really does have that kind of thing that there's a sense to it that will help sort of carry you through the rest of the year.
Yeah, but, there's a certain thing about Christmas where it's okay to be joyful.
Yeah.
And there's an intentionality to trying to be joyful, you know, and that's, and we don't, that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a really good point. It's funny. You mentioned the Santa Claus story. I dropped my son off at a birthday party last weekend and Santa was driving through the town on a truck. Now I didn't have any kids in the car and I drove past Santa on the other side. I rolled my window down. I honked like crazy just to get Santa to turn my way, and when he turned around and waved, and I waved,
so
and it was
so excited. Santa Claus
but,
is coming.
But you know,
now.
There's just these, you know, small moments of excitement and joy and happiness that mm-hmm. are kind of all around us and intentional.
And you know, and some people might be critical of sort of the love we give to Santa, and there's some truth to that. We do have to be careful about that. But if you look at Santa as an extension of Jesus, and which Santa is an extension, but more than just a secular extension, but a spiritual extension as well, I find that you can use the Santa story as a element of the Nativity story, that sort of like extending that overall sense of goodness and joy entering our lives. I wouldn't put Santa on the equal playing field with Jesus, but I definitely think he can be in the cast of characters that deals with this Christmas season. I mean, what about you, Pete? You're a good hardcore Catholic. How do you balance the Nativity story and Jesus and Santa?
Well, I think Santa. It pains me when I hear the music. They talk about the Christmas music. That they start the day after Thanksgiving and they end on Christmas. Or, you know, on the day after Christmas, you're already hearing, you know, you're hearing Santana or Rob Thomas or Taylor Swift or, you know, whatever bands mm-hmm. that they play on the stations. And it's like it never happened. But, I try to keep in my heart Christmas goes till the Feast of the Epiphany. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about gifts, Mike, and Santa, and I'm thinking of the Three Kings. You know, they brought the gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I don't think any of us are going to – I mean, maybe some of us will get gold. I don't know about frankincense during
– Yeah, I'm not
going to – our stockings. Yeah, what about myrrh?
I haven't gotten any myrrh yet.
No? Yeah. Your wife isn't going to say, but wait, there's myrrh.
I hope she says that.
Yeah.
No, there's just myrrh meant.
Right.
That's even
go.
Better. Okay.
See, the Hispanic person right here is not understanding what those two are. You should actually explain.
Oh, what, frankincense and myrrh?
Yeah.
The three kings?
Well, the three kings, yeah.
Right. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Oh, that's how they sound in English.
Well, how do they sound in Spanish?
Baltasar, Melchor, and that.
No, those are their name. Those were their names.
So,
what were the gifts? What
the
gifts.
Oh, oro, incienso, y mirra.
Okay.
See, I don't really know those terms in English. Like, I'm blushing right here, right now. I'm like, what are they talking about?
That is so funny.
Well, talking about some, like, Latino traditions in our schools and how we do celebrate Christmas, Mary Beth and I were just having this conversation downstairs where we were talking about the posadas. Have you heard of it, Mike or Pete?
I've heard of them, yes.
So this is a really cool way to wait for baby Jesus to be born. The 9 days before Christmas, we go to one house, and usually this tradition started to be like really early in the morning, 5 a.m. Like I remember when I was a child in the Dominican Republic. So one family would be leading this, and they would come to your house at 5 a.m. in the morning and be singing like Christmas songs and having tea in the morning and then going to see Our Lady to mm-hmm. the altar. So that was a really cool tradition. And then another house on the second day, and then until the 9 days, and then the big Christmas party would be. And we would be singing and having like all of these percussion instruments there. It was really cool. People do it still here, but not like, you know, going houses by houses. They do it at one house and then they pick the other. They don't travel because I guess we live in a small town and that was possible. But now, you know, everybody is not like maybe Catholic around, or they are not close neighbors, but they pick a house now and they still do it here.
It's called the Posadas?
Posadas.
What is Posadas?
Basically, it means like you stop at a place. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And this conversation started because Christ the King in Haddonfield does something similar, and they get their fifth graders go and stand outside a classroom and beg to be let in. And the class ignores them and doesn't let them in. And then that class joins them, and they go and they gather all the other classes, and they wind up in the church, the whole school. But they go a class at a time.
Yes.
So I had never heard this, and I was looking. I said, oh, Posada and Marianella filled me in. So
they
keep each other in check on customs, right?
Yes.
Wow. That's very – speaking of Spanish customs, one of the beautiful feasts – I've never done this in all my – years of the diocese, and I wanted to do it, Our Lady Guadalupe feast. And I was at the, I was privileged to be in Lindenwald, the vigil in the parish shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe in Lindenwald. They did a beautiful, I got there about 10:30, where they had prayers and singing, beautiful. The altar was, and the whole family was there. It wasn't just adults. It was late at night. This is 10:30 p.m. You had little kids, and they were just so reverent. Kids dressed up like Mon Diego. They had the Aztec dancers. They had, it was just a colorful, and the 11 o'clock Mass in Spanish. And the place was packed. And after the Mass, they had a little celebration. There was food. This guy set up a
There's
little taco
always
stand.
Food involved, Pete.
It was amazing. Well, I had this. I don't know, Marianella, maybe you could shed light on this. Somebody gave me it was like a meat sandwich with cheese and with peppers. I have no idea what it was. It was amazing. It was wrapped in like paper. And I have no idea what it was. It was delicious.
What was inside of it? Oh, that was I think it was tamales. Tamales. They come.
No, it wasn't corn. There was not corn in there.
What was inside of it?
It was about meat, like stringy cheese. I don't know if it was mozzarella, some peppers. I don't know. It was delicious. Well, so party went on to like 2 a.m. And everybody, it was just such a community builder. And you saw that, like, or if you don't know the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe, December 8th?
12th.
The 12th.
12th, I'm sorry. And it commemorates the Virgin Mary appearing to Juan Diego in Mexico. And it's the patroness of the Americas, Our Lady Guadalupe.
Actually, one of our schools, John Paul II in Stratford, they every year they have a big celebration for Our Lady of Guadalupe since they have a big Latino community in their school. And so they have a mariachi that comes and, you know, they do the Mass. And then the kids dress up and do the play, like, you know, play Juan Diego. And it's really neat. Then families come together, they volunteer, they come and give food away. Especially like Latino food. It's a beautiful celebration. I think it brings families together. One day I went to St. Bridget's in Glassboro, and they actually celebrated as well at night. It's a beautiful celebration. I just love the flowers. You know, part of the story, it's about the roses. And so they bring so many roses that it's like overwhelmingly beautiful, like just crazily. And the good part of this is like, you know, this is planned by the families of the parish. They get involved. They really take over. And every year they pick one family. And this family basically transforms the altar and they put food together. It's an incredible celebration for us.
Yeah, really. And, you know, that's one of the coolest parts of Christmas is there are so many different cultural opportunities within it. I mean, every culture has their own sort of
Christmas season, if it's not Christmas itself, it's something in the area of Christmas, that are just these great celebrations you want to avail yourselves of. I mean, that you were talking about the posadas, which reminded me something, and man, I'm not going to remember it accurately, but it's a Filipino novena that goes, it's 9 days, and it's in December, and I forget when the beginning and the end is, but it's always 5:30 masses for 9 straight days. And I've always wanted to go to it because there's a good Filipino community in the other church in Glassboro at Mary Mother of Mercy. And but it gets a great turnout. And then, as with all things, there's always great food afterwards.
Yeah.
And I want to say I wish I could remember more about it. But I've gone to the other church, and it's now left my mind. But this and so many of the Polish community has great traditions. All these different communities have great traditions. So if there's a cultural community in your parish or associated with your school that and you've never been to this thing, I really do recommend it, because Pete and I get to go to these things all the time because of the nature of our jobs, and we're always blown away. We love it. It's fantastic.
Okay. Unfortunately, you're talking about always able to go because of our jobs. I regret to say I'd never been to the one in Lindenwald. I'd been to the one in St. John Paul II, which is associated with the church.
Lindenwald.
I think it was the same mariachi band, because they were there that night. Beautiful. I think it was a 6-piece band, trumpets, guitars, violin, and they were playing all night, and they were singing, and they were just talking about the joy of Christmas, the joy of celebrating our mother. And I'm fortunate that I got to go. I kind of wanted to make it a point to go and fill myself up with these listeners. I do have some Spanish background, so I wanted to connect with that a little more. And it was one of the most, I'm not saying this without hyperbole, it was one of the best things I've been to in a long time in this diocese. And just the joy and the hope that I found and the peace, perfect for the season. And I love it because it's between, we have the Immaculate Conception, then we have our Clay de Guadalupe, then we have Christmas. Mm-hmm. And just, it's a wonderful month that it's, and what Bill was saying, how do we, and Mike, about how we keep this energy, this joy going. And I'll just say, Bill, you were talking about, you have a reason to be joyful. It's like when you walk down the street, you got a smile on your face. If somebody were to say, "Why are you joyful?" You can say, "Oh, it's Christmas time." But if you did it in like May or June, what could you say? I mean,
you're just,
I guess,
a crazy person. No, you're filled with
you could say
the joy of life.
Yeah, but
Jesus.
But
exactly.
I think people would understand it more. It's tough because I think culture understands it more when you say it's because of Christmas. They're like, okay. But if you say it's because of Jesus, people think you're nuts. I don't know.
But we need to teach people that the joy should continue through the year, and that, even though we look happier now and the decorations make it seem like, upbeat, we should keep that happiness going on through the year.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think about to kind of remind ourselves of that personally is the rosary. And particularly the joyful mysteries, which are pretty much about the birth narrative, right? So you have two opportunities a week if you're praying the rosary every day and sort of following which mysteries are on which day. But you can pray the joyful mysteries anytime you like. And it's just such a reminder, any time of year, of the just how awesome the incarnation really is. Jesus Jesus came, sort of once and for all, right? So it's not, and we celebrate that at Christmas time, but that is always true, And so that, I don't know, Pete, if people, people ask you why you're happy, I think that if we lived our lives so that people were asking us why we were so joyful, I think we'd be in a pretty good place to tell them it was because of the joy of the gospel. And I think that's the challenge to us individually, is to live our lives with that joy, that is not as easy when it's not so intentional all around us. But maybe that's a goal, for ourselves to continue to live our lives with that joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep it in our hearts to keep that. And it's, I fail at it every day. I have to always remember to be joyful. But this job, you guys all make it easier.
Aw, Pete.
Aww,
but you're the one that brings us all the joy. It's true. You're always up and coming in, and you walk into a room and everyone lights up. It's good.
I don't know. I feel like some people would want to light up the room.
You mean burn the room down? No, that's possible too some days, I guess. But that'd only be me and only when I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah.
So, not really to you.
Even when you aren't, I heard it was a deacon years ago. He was preaching a homily and one thing that he said is there's a difference between happiness and joy, and the word unjoy is not in the Bible.
True.
You can have joy without being happy that particular day, mm-hmm. And I think that's, to Mike's point, Pete, that's certainly something that, we all appreciate about you. And I would agree with you about our company here in the booth and in our work.
Yeah.
That was deep.
Yeah. I was just saying, I forget who I was saying to recently. Oh, at our lunch yesterday, I mentioned that I've worked at a lot of jobs in my life, but I can say honestly that this is the first time I've worked in a job that for 2 years I've been nothing short of happy because of the quality of the people I work with, which is I hope a side benefit of working for the church in general, but I think specifically also the great people we have working here, which makes it so joyful for us. So Pete, maybe we don't have an excuse to not be joyful all the time, since we work with such joyful people, we have such good jobs, we like what we do. Maybe after all, you look at all that stuff, whatever bitterness is, that bitterness we have on our inside that we need to work out. I know I'm constantly fighting anxiety, so maybe that's what it is.
And I agree, I think there's a, thinking about Christmas, one of the things I wanted to do before I get into asking you guys questions, thinking about my own Christmas pageant memories, and there was a song, I don't know where it came from, every year at Queen of Heaven Cherry Hill, where I went, elementary school, we did a Christmas pageant, and we used some sort of music, I don't know, but I just, thinking in my head, eighth grade, when we were on stage, the final song was this one, When We Meet at the Manger. And the line is, when we meet at the manger, every stranger is a friend. When we meet at the manger, Jesus' mercy will transcend all the pride and the pretense that keep us apart. So meet him at the manger and give him your heart. That just popped to me right now through this discussion.
I'm impressed you remember the lyrics.
Oh, I remember a lot. I could sing.
I'm sorry you didn't sing it for us.
I know.
What? That's a good point.
I was thinking we need to end the manger. This podcast with a song.
Yeah, there we go.
Maybe Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año en felicidad.
Sí, sí, cómo no.
Beautiful. I love that.
But, are we doing it?
No. where's your guitar?
I don't have one.
Do you play guitar or anybody here play guitar?
I used to learn, but I don't. No anymore. I was little.
Well, does anybody have?
We could do it a cappella. What do you think, guys?
Uh huh. Sure.
One and a two. And
well, wait, we're not even close to the end yet. So. let's see if any of us remember when it gets time to the end.
Okay.
I'll turn off. I'll turn off Marianella's mic.
Does anybody have any Christmas? That was kind of my Christmas school memory. Does anybody have any? From your own days as a student.
Or even from your children's days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was in the Christmas pageants a lot when I was young, and I always enjoyed it. But my only memories were opportunities for me to be funny on stage. And being someone who always wanted to be the class clown, that was, I just wanted to get up there and be a big goofball. And I succeeded often. But I can't say that I did anything particularly Christmas inspiring from the stage. Mostly I just got laughs. But that's its own version of joyful, right? There you go.
You didn't change any lives with your performance.
No, I don't think I did. Not me. But I have been touched by others. They did the my sons this year, and they do it every year, but every year I love it, and they did the story of the Nativity as part of the Christmas pageant. And I could lose the entire rest of the pageant with its goofy songs and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and whatnot, but just keeping that nativity section. We actually talked about it on the last podcast with Mike Lasky. the nativity section of the Peanuts Christmas special is the best part of any of the Christmas shows, just because it exists and it's so well done. And you know, and that's sort of the point of what I was going back to what I was saying earlier. I am perfectly fine with Santa and his reindeer being part of the Christmas season, but that's not the part that moves me. That part is window dressing. The part that moves me is the nativity story when we get a chance to see that performed in some beautiful way.
Yeah, I remember practicing we practiced for hours and hours and hours, for days, for months. It felt like whenever we got to school in September at Queen of Heaven, by October, people would know their parts. The deal was eighth grade would be the actors on stage, while the rest of the classes had their own song, and they'd be in the bleachers during their performances. And I just thought it was so cool when the day actually came, because we'd just be practicing with the piano, and we wouldn't have the stage or the lights or the people. And when that day came, it was always amazing. I don't know, baby Jesus gets me when they always are able to get a little child, a live child.
Actually, we have a school doing that this year, Cape Trinity in Wildwood. They had a new baby, the new addition to the family, the Wildwood Catholic family. And so that's going to be baby Jesus this year. It's so exciting.
And it's actually the child of one of their faculty members.
Really?
So that's very special.
That's awesome. I actually got to do that once. When our 9-year-old was born, every year my parish did a nativity pageant, basically. And because we were the people in the parish that had the newest child, they asked us to portray Joseph, Mary, and Jesus.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it was. Now, what was funny was we were not young people. We were, you know, my wife and I were both 36 at the time. So we weren't that, I guess maybe I played an okay Joseph, but she was definitely playing a younger Mary. As an older person. But Jack at that point was 9 months old, so he was a very big newborn. however, I had, without realizing that we were going to be in this thing, I had already started growing out my beard, and that was before it turned white. So I just ran across a photograph of it recently. I think it ran in the Star Herald now that I'm thinking about it. It was Jennifer and I dressed as, you know, the three of us dressed as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I was looking at it going, wow, that's actually a beautiful photograph of the three of us. That's really nice.
Wow.
And I thought for a second, something you said, you know, was like changing, you know, did I change anybody's hearts at any of my scholastic Christmas pageants? But I'm like, well, maybe somebody was moved like I always am at the nativity story. So I say that to say this. If you've never been part of a Christmas pageant and you're an adult now, volunteer. Be a part of it. You know, be a part of the Christmas season. We brought up the Pittman Parade. I walk at it every year, and I absolutely love it because it's Christmas-focused and because I get to carry the sign that says Keep Christ in Christmas and be out there with my fellow knights. You know, too often I think we're very comfortable to sit in the shadows or sit in our pews or sit in our homes and not really go out in the world and really proclaim that we're Catholics and we believe in Jesus and proclaim Jesus' message. Christmas season is the perfect time to do that without having to fear, you know, what other people might think, because there's an expectation that we should be doing this. So maybe as Catholics, we really need to be a little bit better at that.
And you know, it's funny, you talk about, you know, being in a pageant, and our pastor every week writes a little something in the bulletin, and this week it was about time. And it was about the importance of time, and time is sort of the most precious commodity that we have. And the point was, you know, where you spend your time is what you value. Yeah. And so, and sort of a call to, and a, you know, a question to us, you know, is, are you spending your time with Jesus, mm-hmm. particularly here in Advent? But I think about our schools, and we all have these memories of Christmas pageants, and we kind of know what to expect, or, you know, for the most part, I mean, we mix them up a little bit, but they do have the tradition. They do have the manger scene. They have all the actors that we all know very well. But I think that says a lot about the Catholic school. And if I may, there's some educational value in that, if you want to call it that, that we're spending our time on Jesus, on preparing and celebrating the birth of Jesus. And that's where we're spending our time. Not all of it, obviously, because you know, you still have to have math and that sort of thing. But we're spending our time there in Catholic schools. And that's really important. That's a great message and a great model for those students that during Advent, really during the whole year, but especially during Advent, you spend your time with Jesus and you spend your time on that. And we're living that in committing to it. Not only in the performance, so to speak, but in the preparation for it. And that alone is both exciting for the kids, I think, but also a message that stays with you long after you graduate from that school.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely true.
Teaching them, like the students learn about the nativity story, obviously, they learn about Mary and the journey. And is that, I guess, is this, with the liturgical, too, do the students, when they go to Mass, I guess, or with the vestments and all that, with the wreath, and they're kind of educated?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're talking about the traditions. We're talking about the meaning behind the things that we use. For example, an Advent wreath. One of my favorites is the Advent calendar. Mm-hmm. Not the kind with the chocolate in it, but the kind with the scripture verse in it, you know, that brings scripture back to it. And again, these are things, some of them small things, but our kids experience them year after year. And just that emphasis, I think, is really important. It's its own kind of an informal learning experience. You know, it's not like a lesson on it, but you don't leave Catholic school knowing about the Advent calendar and the Advent wreath and the Magi and the meaning of the Christmas pageant and all the players and the gospel and the scripture and how it ties in. It's just there.
Yeah.
And we are intentional about it at particular times, but it's also, pervasive, particularly at this time of year. And that's really important, I think.
And even with... I have a friend who's a teacher in a public school, and he says it's difficult to keep the kids' minds, like all they're thinking about is snow and thinking about Christmas and thinking about presents. Is that a challenge in Catholic schools to kind of, you know, because they're still kids. Exactly.
I felt so bad for the teachers at my kid's school. It was last Friday. It was a half day, so that was sort of to their in their favor. But it was kids were out of uniform. It was a week before Christmas, and it started to snow. And that is the trifecta for these guys. They are like, you know, take my hat off to any teacher who sort of makes it through that day alive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as Mary Beth says, they're still kids. You know, kids get excited anywhere, I think almost universally about Christmas and the season.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, you were talking about sort of the things that get reinforced year after year through Advent. And I have three grown children. I have three sons who are all in their 20s. And one of the things that is so rewarding for me as a parent of grown kids is seeing them come home, and not just home to our house, but home to our church community. And last Sunday we were in church, and you know they're sort of coming home by one. I've got two now, and the third one gets home tomorrow night. And we walk into church, and you see all these beautiful grown children home, and they all still connect with each other, and they all still relate to each other, and we're all there at the altar where they've been since they were, many of them preschoolers. My kids started there in kindergarten, but it's just incredible. And I think people that don't have that background, where do you go? Where do you come home to when all your kids are home? Because they stay after church and they talk and they're all, you know, doing great things and they're beautiful. And it's just in a flash, you can be back to that Christmas pageant where they were all together as kindergartners or at the Leeds as eighth grade. And then here they are. And it's just really incredible having a place for them all to come home to that isn't just our house.
Yeah.
Remember that community. Remember that. I remember... with just this other pageant story, don't want to bore you all. Hope I'm not. But just the, I remember Miss Pavaco. I think she's a teacher. Christ, she was a teacher still in one of our schools. But I remember in eighth grade, I remember she was keeping the tree up. The tree was about to fall down during the nativity scene. And I just remember her. I could see her. I was Joseph in the play. And I even started growing a beard in eighth grade. I remember my friends told me to ask the principal if you can grow a beard because you're Joseph. And I remember I finally did it. And Sister Marita Regina, who was principal at the time, said, no, I couldn't grow a beard. So they gave me like a fake beard. But I just remember, Mary, Jesus, and I, and the shepherds, and Miss Bavaco holding up the tree. Nobody else could see her. You know, she's far away, but just those wacky, those things that it was joyful, you know, something that, but I think there is something to Mary Beth that I like that, you know, you come home. And I think that's such a, in my apartment building, St. Pete's Merchantville, the church I go to, had a poster that said, come home for Christmas. And I think now these communities, parish communities, are using that theme to bring parishioners back and to remember. And I hope and pray that that can, you know, hopefully when people see that sign, it'll bring back memories of, you know, maybe going, if they don't go to church now, maybe it'll bring them back. And there's so many different, when will this go up, Mike?
This Thursday.
Thursday. So is there anything coming up if listeners here on Thursday that then you got two more days, anything coming up Christmas Eve or the Friday, the 23rd pageants or that people can go to that you want to promote?
Well, I would just encourage, I know a lot of our schools are having their in-school pageants and that sort of thing, their celebrations on Friday. So for certainly any parents who have kids in Catholic school or grandparents or aunts and uncles and that sort of thing, I think that, you know, your kids have certainly invited you. And maybe if you're the parents, you're going to go. But if you if you're an older brother or sister or an aunt or an uncle or something, think about that, too, because as Mike has pointed out, it's such an embodiment of what Christmas is. And you will leave smiling. And if you're like me, and if any of my brothers or my sister are listening, we'd like you to come too, so you can take turns holding our 2-year-old twins, who might not be able to make it through the whole pageant without disturbing the show. So the more hands, the merrier.
I can attest to that.
That is an excellent point. Actually, and that is one of the nice things, you know, the family. And you brought this up earlier, Mary Beth. Yeah, we've gotten into the habit of going to Mass with our parents. We all go to the children's Mass together with my son and my two nieces and on my mom's side of the family. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'm actually looking forward to Jack getting old enough that we can start going to midnight Mass together, because I remember doing that with my father. We would all sort of process in with these candles. And anyway, it was just great memories of the Midnight Mass. And I've sort of done it the last 2 years by going to wherever Bishop is going those evenings. But the 10 p.m. Mass and the Midnight Mass are two different things as far as I'm concerned. So I would like to get back to a Midnight Mass at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you know. Particularly when no one is waking me up at 6 a.m. So I also need Jack to be a teenager who will sleep late. So that might be a little tough. Because
you might have a few years.
Yet. Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, gosh. I've got a lot of years,
I need to tell you. Even when they're like deadhead teenagers, they'll still get up on Christmas morning.
Oh, boy.
Now
right.
They sleep in.
I mean, come on.
Myself with a 9-month-old and almost 3-year-old baby? Mm-hmm.
So you're probably up all night anyway, so it'd be just like any other morning, right? So.
Yeah.
I will say there was one Christmas. This is a good one. My three kids, the best Christmas gift I've ever gotten from my children, and they were probably like, I want to say 10, 8, and 5, came to us on Christmas Eve with a menu of what they were going to bring us in bed before opening presents Christmas morning. And they got up on Christmas morning. They made coffee. They made toast. They brought it to us in our bedroom, and they waited until we were finished, until we went down for Christmas gifts. So
That is unbelievable. Can I bring my kids in tomorrow
really...
so that you can tell them that story?
the next year we were wondering if it was going to happen again, and it didn't. But and it was more than just toast. I don't. But they had done this whole menu. It was adorable and so loving, and we got to sleep in a little bit.
Minute mark is that? Do we want to include that for kids to listen to that point?
Yeah, the 59-minute mark.
59.
Well, okay, well, Matt, because we are at the 59-minute mark, we do have to start wrapping up. So I was just curious, going around the table, what will be your Christmas Day plans for this year? How will you be celebrating with kith and kin?
Well, we'll start by going to the 4 o'clock Mass on Christmas Eve with the kids, and then we'll go over to my brother's house. He has all our family and his wife's family over to his house for a kind of a Christmas Eve celebration. Then we'll get everybody home and hopefully to bed. And Christmas morning will begin. We've told them no earlier than 6. But I'm sure the kids will be up before that, and probably us along with them. But then after that, we'll head up to my wife's family's from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, which is about a 2-hour drive, and we'll go there and spend the rest of Christmas day and night with her family.
Oh, that's nice. Mary Beth?
We also will do Christmas Eve Mass, probably 6 o'clock, and probably just have a quiet dinner at home. We used to celebrate Christmas Eve with my husband's father, but since he passed away, his family doesn't really travel anymore. So we sort of have just our nuclear family of 5 for Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day will be pretty leisurely, and we will head over to this side of the river again. I live in Pennsylvania, but we'll be coming back over to my sister's, who lives in Haddon Heights, to have dinner with her family.
Very nice. Marianella?
Well, we'll go to 6 o'clock Mass at St. Joe's Pro Cathedral. And then I have a party of 35 people, and I haven't counted the children well yet, but that might become 40. Wow. So everybody's going to bring some food, and we're going to share it together. Usually Christmas is a very big dinner for us Latinos. Like we have adopted Thanksgiving, but Christmas is our big thing. Mm-hmm. It's a family. So always the families come together and have dinner. And then after that, we'll open Christmas gift around 12 a.m. That's our tradition.
Wow.
We have a palliana for the families during dinner. And then they go home. We do the gifts of our family. And in the morning, we take gifts to the little kids we bought for. Mm-hmm. And that's our 25th of December.
Very nice. Okay.
I'm keeping that Latino Christmas, too. I'll be celebrating with my dad's Cuban side of the family Christmas Eve, though I will just be with my sisters and my parents. Probably go to Holy Eucharist in Cherry Hill. And then Christmas Day, we'll be together. I'll probably wake up at 8 a.m. and watch Christmas Story. on TNT, that runs from 8 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Anybody see the Christmas Live, by the way? The Christmas Live musical?
No.
They did it on Sunday.
I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet.
It's interesting, but I love the original with Ralphie and the BB gun. So I'll be doing that Christmas Day and then be with my family. And then later that night, I will be having a Cuban Christmas up in North Jersey with pastelitos, with meat and guava pies and ham and rice and beans. It's just going to be joyful. I'm very excited.
That's excellent.
What about you, Mike?
Let's see. Well, don't forget, everyone, Christmas is on a Monday, so Christmas Eve is on a Sunday, and if you have to do both your Sunday Christmas responsibility, and you have to do your Christmas responsibility. So remember, it's not one Mass on Christmas. It's 2 if you're not doing the vigil Mass on Saturday. So don't forget, everybody, this weekend, 2 Masses. You know, everybody understand?
I'm a little confused, honestly, because I heard from...
No. Let me don't even say it out loud. Let me fix it for you. If your parish has its usual Advent, fourth Sunday of Advent, you know, Saturday night, Sunday morning... masses, then you have to go to one of those 2 Masses. You have to do your Sunday, observance. Then Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, you got to pick one of those. Or either you're going Christmas Eve night or you're going to go during Christmas Day.
So the Sunday evening Mass does not count for both.
The Sunday evening Mass does not count for both. The okay. Sunday evening Mass would be
Christmas.
Unless your pastor has done something else, to the as it has been explained to me by many and many a priest, if you go on the evening of Sunday, that is your Christmas obligation, not your Sunday observance.
Okay, then I need to talk to this priest who will go unnamed.
Okay.
Pastor that will go unnamed.
Go chat with your pastor, but that
it's
is
not my pastor, it's a pastor.
Okay, go chat with a pastor.
And have that conversation.
But that is how it was described to me, and my pastor went through chapter and verse. Now, maybe different parishes will do different things, but it was the topic of at least 6 minutes of our Mass on this past Sunday. Was the example of you got to go to Mass twice. Don't try to get away with only going once. That's the key to all of us. You got to go twice.
Well, you can think of it this way, though. Because Advent this year, I mean, literally Advent, because of that, is about a half day.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, not Advent, the fourth week of Advent. Mm-hmm. So that's your opportunity to celebrate the fourth week of Advent.
Well, that's the only
shot. It's the only shot you have.
It really is. And then
you celebrate Christmas, you know. Because, yeah. But I mean, liturgically and in terms of the preparation, I mean, those readings are unique and important and
not to be skipped.
So, not to be skipped for real.
Well, maybe you can go to your Saturday night Mass.
Well, that's what I am going to do. So just to back up to what am I doing for Christmas, I am doing the fourth Sunday of Advent on Saturday evening at the Vigil Mass. Then we're going to 4 p.m. Mass on Sunday for the Christmas Eve Mass. And then we go out to Hibachi afterwards with my parents and my nieces and my sister. And then we put the kids to bed and, you know, gifts appear in whatever manner you're comfortable with gifts appearing. And then Christmas morning we'll open gifts just amongst ourselves and our family. Then my in-laws come over for breakfast in the morning, which we'll be hosting at our house. Then we go to my mother's in the afternoon for lunch at her house. And then we go to my aunt's in the evening for dinner with my dad's side of the family. So it'll be, I refer to it as the Bataan Death March of Christmas, but I love it. And I can't imagine, people tell me how they handle, like I hear what other people do for Christmas. I'm like, you don't leave? Like, how do you not drive 180 miles to all these different places? My cousin, apparently, he and I sort of grew up differently. Even though we're in the same family, he never had to leave his house. And so for him, leaving you the house on a holiday is so foreign. But for me, it's I can't imagine a holiday without traversing all over South Jersey. So anyway, that's what I'll be doing. Oh, and eating constantly.
Eating constantly is important.
Yeah, I've been on Weight Watchers for 3 months, and that's the one day a year that I check that app and go, okay, lots of pie for me. So not unhealthy, but you know, I'm gonna fully be joyful of my eating habits.
Apples in the pie, or blueberries, or something.
Sure,
right?
Sure. That's all healthy.
Pumpkin, maybe. Yeah. Pumpkin's a vegetable for crying out loud.
That's right.
It's a gourd, isn't it? Vegetable gourd.
If it's not a vegetable, it's a vegetable adjacent, which is good enough for me. So there you go. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in and listening. I hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Talking Catholic, and we'll have we'll be recording one more about the. What to look forward to in the new year in a few days. We'll have that go up next week. But thank you all for joining us. It's always wonderful to have the schools department in the vault with us.
Yeah,
it was a pleasure. I just want to wish happy birthday to my little one who's turning 3 years old tomorrow.
Aww.
Happy birthday, Mariana.
That's wonderful. Good job. Okay, everybody. Pete, good talking to you.
Mike, you too. Everybody, we'll see you for the ultimate podcast, the final one 2016 next week. Thank you all. You all joyful. God bless.